Hi there, welcome to Sharkcast Radio, a podcast about all things Cronulla Sharks. My name is Sam Shinazzi. I'm here on my own this week. Newman is away overseas in Singapore conducting business. We'll miss the big fella. He'll be on the next episode. We couldn't do this without our sponsors, Dyson Logistics, the Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking, Endeavour Property Services, and Shark Island Brewing. Thank you very much, guys, for your support. Thank you also to all our listeners who drop us feedback every single day. We appreciate it. We love it. It inspires us, and we hope you can continue on doing that. If you haven't already, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You just hit subscribe, and then the next episode will appear in your platform for where you get podcasts. Same thing with Wooshka, Podbean, whatever platform you use for podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, you should be able to find us. You should be able to subscribe for free. You can also rate us. And all that kind of thing helps us in the long run with how these people, these platforms, look back at us. So we're doing really well at the moment, and we appreciate you guys. Without you guys, we wouldn't be able to do it. So thank you very much for that. All right, let's get on with the show. Last Saturday night, Cronulla Sutherland Sharks recorded their first win of the year, a 14-4 dour win over the Parramatta Eels, who remain winless in 2018. The Sharks showed a lot more improvement, particularly in their handling and penalties and discipline, so we can be thankful for that. They finished the game with an 80% completion rate, 29 of 36, which is pretty good, and they won the penalty count 8-6, and they were leading the penalty count, I think, up until the 45th or 50th minute, 5-0. So I don't know what's happening there. The difference between one week and the next, between both the performance by the team and the refereeing. It was our fourth straight win against Parramatta. And we've now won 11 of 14 matches away from Shark Park since the start of last season. We've got to turn that around, of course, this week. We've only won 5 of 14 at home, so there's a big disparity there. The Sharks haven't scored over 16 points this year. The attack is still a work in progress. Now, Hodkinson came in for Matt Moylan, and that would have disrupted things, as well as having Jesse Ramian come in as well. And both those guys did incredibly well, but as far as the team structure goes, it was a little bit disrupted. So we can excuse that last week, and they did win fairly comfortably, even though it was only a 10-point buffer. But against teams like the Storm this week, the Roosters next week, we're going to have to score some more points. There was a huge improvement in the Eels game from the week before against the Dragons. They ran for 500 more metres, offloaded 6 more times, made close to 100 less tackles, and only missed 15 tackles. I don't know how a team can change so quickly from one week to the next. I don't know how referees can also, you know, reward and penalise teams in that way in the space of a week. I don't know what Parramatta were doing so wrong that they didn't get a penalty at the 50th minute, and that's obviously coming from a biased opinion. So it was a strange game, not one for the ages, dour, but we got the 2 points. We had to win. A bunch of us were just saying, just win, it doesn't matter how, get off the bottom of the ladder, get the press off your back. And they've done that for the time being. Chad Townsend scored all 14 points for the Sharks. He hasn't missed a kick this year. He's got a 100% kicking record. And he had a pretty good game steering the boys around the park. I thought Hodkinson came in and did a really great job. He was cool, calm, and collected. I don't know how in the future, should things not go the way we want, I don't know how they're not going to play him if he keeps up that kind of performance. It wasn't spectacular. It was catch, pass, kick, tackle, but he did it really well, and he just looks so calm out there, which is what I think this team needs, particularly with Maloney leaving. You know, Moylan's got his own attributes when he plays for us, but whether he leads a team around or not that well, I'm not sure yet. Of course, if you have Hodkinson in the team, Moylan will have to go back to fullback, Dugan to the centre, etc., etc. So that conundrum is not really settled yet, I don't think. Josh Dugan had a really good game. He ran for 138 metres, busted 8 tackles, no errors. He was safe, so he did a really great job. Now, Valentine Holmes, the young man that I love talking about, but this year I and he have been ridiculed by his performances, he had a much better game. He ran for 124 metres, he busted a tackle, and he genuinely looked like he wanted to be out there. So welcome back, Valentine Holmes. Hopefully you can just keep improving and get back to even better form. Wouldn't mind seeing you score a try or two either. Jesse Ramien had a really good game. He ran for over 100 metres. He busted two tackles. He made two tackles. He did make one error, which led to a try, the only try by Avave. But in hindsight, I'm sure he could clean that up. It was a poor defensive read, but life will go on. Now, between Hodkinson and Townsend, they kicked for over 500 metres. Chad had the majority of 300, but Hodkinson a very important 200 metres as well. Big Andrew Fifita. Boy, oh boy, this gentleman can find a headline, which we'll get into maybe in the news section. He had an outstanding game. He only made the one error. He ran 21 times for 165 metres, the most in the match. Made four offloads, he busted five tackles, made 20 tackles, didn't miss one, and only gave away one penalty. So one penalty, one error is a negative, and the rest of that is the positive. He had a really strong game, and we need that from him. I thought Jaden Brayley had close to a career best game in a very short career that it's been. He ran four times. He engaged the line another three times. He topped the tackle count with 35 tackles, no misses. He came off, I'm not sure exactly when, probably around the 60th minute, and I felt like he could have kept going. He was really doing a good job for us. So I think Coach Flanagan's got a bit of an issue there with what to do with Seguiara and when to bring him on. As discussed last week with Newman, we were thinking maybe bring on Segi in the 30th minute and then have him come off in the 50th, just so it's a bit more effective in those tiring times. But they almost shut up shop, the Sharks, at 14-4. Segi comes on. Segi's more of an attacking hooker than a defending hooker. And they weren't really chasing points. So it was a bit strange for me. I don't really know what's happening there. Again, it's not a slight against Seguiaro. It's just I'm not sure where he fits in this team currently. On last week's episode, we begged Wade Graham to get involved, and he finally did. Week three, he stood up. He was counted, the co-captain. He ran for over 130 metres 14 times in total. He busted two tackles. He made 22 tackles, and he was heavily involved. Paul Gallen played about 50 minutes. He had an error or two in him, but he set up that try with Brayley. It was a really beautiful setup down the middle of the field. Ran for over 100 metres, and there were good signs there from Gallen moving forward. We probably could have scored a few more tries. Ricky Latelli dropped the ball over the line, and a few more things broke down close to the line. So it wasn't all doom and gloom in the attack, but the fact is they still scored only 14 points in the match. That's all they needed, but they're going to have to turn it on in the coming weeks, particularly if they're going to record victories for us. I was impressed with Joseph Paulo as well, coming off the bench, Captain America. He played for half an hour, and he looked dangerous in attack. He really looked like he was troubling the defence. You know, for a big bopper off the bench, he looked dangerous. He's also versatile in that he can play dummy half if needed. So I think he plays an important role in this team, probably a bit underrated. He's got a milestone match coming up this week in his NRL career, so expect another big game from Captain America. So that's a few things from the stats point of view. It was good to see them force some dropouts as well. From the first moment, they looked like they were on their game. The worry was at halftime, you know, what's going to happen, a la the Dragons derby where they fell apart in the second half. But against Parramatta round three, they did really well. We probably won't watch this one back on replay, but it's an important game for them to get their first victory, get some confidence, and you need that going into a game against the Premiers and an excellent team like the Melbourne Storm. Hey Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467 233 153. That's 0467 233 153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes. Local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays, and of course the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday fishing, it's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
Okay, welcome to the news section. I'm not going to do the intro like Newman does it because no one can do it like him. Boy, oh boy. Cronulla Sharks in the news again. The NRL announced a four-team women's competition starting in September. To the surprise of everyone, including the club, the Sharks were not rewarded with a license despite all the things they've done for the women's game in the past few years. They've been at the forefront of women's rugby league. They signed the first ever women's contract. They hosted a World Cup. They've got numerous teams that have been successful and are still being successful as we speak. Competitions throughout the Shire, supporting and promoting women in sport, women in rugby league. They had financial backing, yet for some reason, it's not good enough for the NRL. There was a lot of outpouring of emotion from fans and from lots of individuals. In the press, out of the press, punters, corporate people, it's wrong. Everyone knows it's wrong. But the NRL, they cite geographical reasons. So they gave a license to St. George Illawarra, Brisbane, the Roosters, and the Warriors. I'm pretty sure they're the four teams. How you cannot have the Sharks in there is just stunning. And it's just another sign that the NRL don't listen to the fans. And now they're not even listening to their own clubs. I thought Barry Russell handled it really well in the press statement he made. He was very strongly worded. And he's going to chase things up and see what can be done about it. And Todd Greenberg was quoted as saying, their time will come, it's just not now. He also compared himself to JJ Gilton, which I thought was interesting. But the time's now, the time is right as we speak. And it's a travesty that this club is not involved. And as the Sharks have said, they're not going to back down from promoting the women's game. But it's a major stab in the back. It's a stab through the heart. I believe many people within the club, when it was announced, were extremely disheartened, is the word I'll use. Emotional. It's not often a case when so many people are in agreement about something that it's wrong. And the NRL have got it wrong. And they can send out their tweets and promote the game now and talk about what a great day it was and a historical day it was. But they're hiding behind the fact that they got it wrong. Absolutely, these four teams, you know, should be promoted. The game should be promoted. But they're kidding themselves if they think that we as fans are going to read these tweets and these newspaper articles and see them on TV talking about what a great day it is for women's rugby league. Yet they've cut out not only one team that has led the way, but two in South Sydney who have just as much right as the Sharks in what they've done in the past few years as well for the game, for women's rugby league. It's just staggering they've got it wrong. I'm astounded. So where we go from here, I'm not sure. The club's going to still support the game, but I don't know. This is pretty big, and I know a lot of you out there probably thinking, oh, well, it's only Women's Rugby League, but that's not really the point. What you need to be worried about is the fact that the NRL have brushed the Cronulla Sharks a week after one of their lead figures didn't even know what our nickname was. I've already read a few fatalists out there, conspiracy theorists, saying that the writing's on the wall. And I don't necessarily believe that. I think my buddy Newman was here. He might say something about it, which he will probably in the next episode. But I do think it is a major slap in the face for the club. The Premier's from, what, less than 2 years ago? So that's where we're at with that story. It's very disheartening. We give a shout out to everyone involved within the club and around the club who have supported women's rugby league in the district. I don't know what else to say, to be honest. On Wednesday, Andrew Fifita fronted the media at the Weekly Sharks media call, and he answered a whole bunch of things about a whole bunch of subjects, and someone asked him about whether he was going to play for New South Wales or for Tonga. And he went into a bit of a monologue without thinking about it, a bit like what I'm doing now on this podcast. And what came out was a little bit gibberish, to be fair to the great man. To sum up, he basically said you'll have to listen to a podcast he'd done with two UFC boys that's coming out in a few days, and his answer is on that podcast. And of course, the NRL media had a field day with that. Now me, I'm sitting back and thinking, oh my God, podcast in the news again. It's like deja vu. Thankfully, our podcast is not involved in this controversy. I can see what Andrew Fifita is trying to do. He's trying to give his mates the headline, and he's also, I don't know if he's thought it out that much. I don't know if he's trying to keep it away from the NRL media, but that's how it's been taken. It would appear he's going to play for Tonga and not New South Wales. I don't have an issue with that in the world. I mean, people are sprouting on about what disrespect it is to show to the Blues jumper. I mean, give me a break. Just, it's a state jumper. What does it really mean to you? A state jumper. In my opinion only, it's only my opinion, the jumper you should be concerned about is the black, white and blue. The guy won us a comp less than 2 years ago in that jumper. I'm not saying you should support him with all your heart. I mean, I've been critical of him on this podcast before. I think from what I saw from that press conference, and I encourage you to go watch it, is that what he said is nowhere near as bad as the way it's being interpreted and also the way it'll appear in print. If you hear him talk, he says it all quite jovial. He's not being smart. He's not being sinister. He's saying he made a decision. We believe it's Tonga. He's recorded it on a podcast for some reason and not telling anyone. So that's a bit sneaky. There is an argument saying that the NRL players came to an agreement last year. They would get more money if they were more open to the media and that kind of thing. So there is a bit of an issue there, which I understand. End of the day, I think people, including myself sometimes, a little bit harsh on Andy. So make of that what you will. Tip is, he's not going to play Origin. People will tell you that he's not even in consideration for playing it from the Blues point of view and that he's trouble and that kind of thing. If he strings together three or four great games like he did last week, he's going to be in consideration. So I don't believe he's waiting to find out whether they'll take him or not. I think he's made his decision and his heart belongs with the country that he represents now. So can't fault him for that. But all this stuff about disrespecting your state is just, it grates me, to be honest. I know some of you guys out there will dispute that, and I'm happy for you to do that. I'm not saying that you should think the way I do, but let's just cut the guy some slack. This time around, at least. Some injury news. Luke Lewis will return to NRL football this week, which we'll reveal in the team later on. Sione Katoa looks like he'll be back around week 7, possibly week 6. My man, Jason Bakuya, has a bit of a groin injury. I don't have complete details on when he'll return. I've heard up to 3 weeks. I'm hoping it's not that bad. He's been our best player this year, so we're going to miss him this week, and for however long he's out, the return of Luke Lewis definitely helps with his absence, but hopefully Boogs will be back bigger and better than ever. Kyle Flanagan returned to football last week. Newtown lost 28-16 to the Blacktown Workers, so a disappointing result there, but I believe he played strong. And should he keep playing well in the future, he'll be selected probably around Origin time, is what the coach is saying. No guarantees there, of course. Braden Ueli is also back. He's been selected in the 21-man squad. So he's gotten over his injury. I thought he'd be closer to the 17 than what he is at the moment. And I'm hearing a few whispers that he's not quite ready for first grade. So I and some of you other guys may need to calm down a little bit about Braden Ueli just because he may not be ready for NRL action just yet. I think he will be later on in the year, maybe sooner. I'm not putting a timeline on it, but I heard during the week from a good source that he is not quite ready. Mind you, then he was picked for the 21 jumper, so it can't be that far away either. I think there's a few issues about how long he can go for at the top grade at the moment. So I was talking to someone close to the club this week, they think UL is a little bit further away from first grade than what we all kind of are hoping he is. But the fact he's been selected in that 21 this week shows that he can't be too far away. So hopefully he gets his chance and makes the most of it, because he's certainly got the frame and body to make things happen out in the field for us, particularly against a tiring defence. So watch this space on Braden Ueli, but he has been named in the top 21. Where he goes from there at the moment, I'm not sure. Now, my colleague Adam Newman did an interview with the CEO of the Leagues Club, which you can listen to on a separate podcast. Go look at the podcast list of the episodes, and it's probably two or three episodes ago, there on its own. Have a listen to it. There's a lot of news about licensing, as well as some cool stuff about the club and a little bit of football news as well. But this week they announced via a Wade Graham video, actually, which is a nice touch, that on the eastern side of the field, the Peter Burns side of the field, from NRL kickoff, you can only buy two alcoholic drinks at a time. Now, the club has come under fire from fans about that. We can assure you that if they were allowed to sell more, they would. They want to make money. They want to keep you guys happy. Preferably not too happy, but happy. But there is a new licensing person in town, carrying on like John Wayne, and that's the result at the moment, unfortunately. So hopefully we can all respect that, and however you want to handle that, you know, you handle it. If you want to drink before you come to the game, do that. If you want to go to the club, go to the club. We encourage that. If you want to go with three of your mates and you all buy two each, then maybe that's the way to do it. I'm not sure. It's not ideal, but that is the latest news on what's happening with licensing at the ground. The Jersey Flegg team is now one of three teams to remain undefeated after 3 weeks in the 2018 competition. They won 18-16 over Manly, again winning late in the game, but that's a great sign from the young team. Lumi Lumi with two tries. Tasha Gale Sharks also remain undefeated, and again, a kick in the pants for the Cronulla Club promoting women's sport so well, yet not being given an official women's NRL license. But you heard me sprout on about that before, and everyone else is doing it for me at the moment. Anyway, they won crossing for 10 tries in a 52-22 victory over the Sydney Roosters. So that's a great win for them yet again. In Sharkcast radio and TV news, merchandise. We have some excellent brand new trucker hats for anyone interested. They're sky blue. It's a completely different hat from the previous two we've sold before, so it's a third different Sharkcast hat. If you want to collect them, this is probably the best one. Sky blue, awesome old logo, great fit. I wore one on Sharkcast TV last week. So drop us a line, sharkcastpod@gmail.com, and get in touch with us. I think they're around $30-35, but I promise you the quality is brilliant. We couldn't have got those made without our sponsor, Dyson Logistics, as well. Thank you very much, Kane, for that. Sharkcast TV news. We're now on Monday nights. Monday night, 8 o'clock. It's already been a successful move. Numbers were up. Energy was up. We encourage you to tune in. This year, for most of the episodes, it'll be Newman, myself, and Ben Ross, former Shark, Ben Ross. Rob Willis is still our friend and dear colleague, and he'll be on when he can be. But due to some other shows that he's working on, which he wasn't working on last year, his time's not as free, unfortunately. Ben Ross has been a great addition. We think you'll love him. We love him already, so tune in. There's probably even more football talk this year, so give it a go. If you loved it before, you'll love it even more. If you haven't loved it before, you might like it more this time around. So no pressure there from us, but it's on a Monday night. It's on the Sharks Facebook site. I also believe they're trying to stream it through other avenues, but we'll get back to you when that's 100% confirmed. I'm not sure if there's any more news that I'm leaving out. If I am, tweet me, write to us. Tap me on the shoulder. We're around.
Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specializes in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers, as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavorpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavor Property Services.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. It tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite. And now it's come to the time of the show where we hear from you, the fans, about your thoughts on the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks and everything that's happening in Sharkland. You can reach us at sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. We love hearing from you, so please keep your thoughts coming in. The oldest mail we have is from Matt, and he said, just listen to the podcast after the loss to the Dragons, and you expressed my thoughts exactly. It still hurts. Wanted to let you know that I look forward to the pod each week. I'll miss this week's game as I'm hitting the slopes in Germany. Well, Matt, good news. We won. Thank you very much for your correspondence. We appreciate it. The next bit of mail is from Bain, and Bain has sent a photo to go along with the correspondence. And he says, listening to the pod on the way back from a few days in Mudgee. How does regular listener Greg from Mudgee cope with these on every light post in the Mudgee main streets? It's just wrong. Cheers, Bain. Now, you'll never guess what is hanging from the street. It's a St. George flag. A Dragons flag. They're on every light post, apparently. And it's disgraceful. I don't know what's happening in Mudgee, but we urge Greg, who lives there and listens to us regularly, to go tear them down. And once you've torn them down, get some scissors, cut them up, send it back to the Leagues Club. This next bit of mail regards the topic of the Sharks getting involved with the Southern expansion in the A-League and the possible down-the-road scenario of them moving to Loftus in a new supersonic stadium that they would share with the Southern expansion. My good mate Brendan Manahan from the Upper ET, he says, should the Sharks move the new multi-million dollar facility at Loftus if it eventuates? No. Thank you, Brendan. Appreciate it. Regular listener and writer Michael Langridge from Canberra has graced us again with a lovely, lovely letter. He says, so I went on Saturday. We were solid in application, but also pretty lame in the points area. We should have won by more. Para are awful. They are dead set awful. They have nothing. We get Louis back this week, but we lose Boogie. That's no good. I would move Moylan to fullback, keep Hodkinson in the side. Seggy made a break again and looked to be running backwards. Incredibly, Ramin was better than Gray. Play the Premiers this week. I don't know if we can out-prison ball them. I'd love to win, obviously. Thanks, Michael. Yeah, Michael, I agree. The attack against Parramatta didn't look too good. And I also agree that the Bakuya loss is huge, given the form that he's in. Be great to have Louis back. Hopefully he's 100%. Yeah, I mean, you make a lot of sense there. There's no need for me to go over all that. You are clearly a very smart young man. The next bit of mail is from Stephen, and Stephen is in Melbourne. He says, I moved from the Shire to Melbourne last year, and I really need this one, boys. I've been talking way too much smack talk this week to anyone who understands rugby league or anyone who will listen. Hopefully, Stephen, they can get the job done for you. Thanks again to everyone who's written in. Thank you to all of you who write to us on social media. We really appreciate it. And without this part of the show, there'd be less content, and we just love hearing from you guys about what you're thinking. You are very smart people, and it's great to hear your thoughts. They don't have to agree with ours, of course. Keep them coming in, sharkcastpod@gmail.com, and also on all the social medias. We'll take a quick break now, and we'll be back to preview the upcoming game against the Storm.
Dykes, Ettinghausen, Peachy. Fullback playing it. Traffic cop saying down here.
Welcome back to the preview part of the podcast, Sharkcast Radio, all things Cronulla Sharks. Important game coming up Friday night at Southern Cross Group Stadium around 8 o'clock against the Melbourne Storm, who we beat in the 2016 Grand Final. Don't ever forget that. 21-man team has now become a 19-man team due to the lateness of this podcast. And I can reveal that Matt Moylan is scratched. He's out. He's not playing. And I believe it's nothing to do with his hamstring injury. It's to do with a knee injury. So he was close, but he's not playing this week. Here is your team. Josh Dugan at fullback. The wingers are Sasiah Fecky and Valentine the Future Holmes. The centres are Jesse Ramian and Ricky That Tackle Latelli. In jumper 19, playing 5'8", Trent Hodgkinson. Chad Townsend at the halfback. Andrew Fifita, Jaden Brayley, Matt Pryor are your front row, with Luke Lewis returning, also playing his 100th game for the Cronulla Sharks, and captains Wade Graham and Paul Gallen at the back of the scrum. The bench is Kurt Capewell, James Seguiaro, Big Arva, and Joseph Captain America Paulo, with Kurt Dillon, Edric Lee also on the extended bench. Bit of a shout out to Captain America, Joseph Paulo, playing his 150th NRL match. He debuted back in 2008 for the Panthers. He's also spent time at Parramatta. His first game was actually at Shark Park, and they won 21-20 via a Jared Sammet field goal. Blast from the past. Captain America joined the Sharks in the premiership season of 2016. So the scratching of Ueli confirms what I was saying before, that he's close, but no cigar for him this week. And Trent Hodgkinson has been rewarded with his good form last week as well. So Moylan's a huge loss, but I guess in a drag him down prison ball type scenario, which it will probably be on Friday night, Hodgkins is not a bad person to have in the team. He'll kick them around the park pretty well, and he can defend. And it does suggest it's going to be a low-scoring game. The Sharks are yet to score over 16 points this season, so that is a concern. And historically speaking, the Sharks haven't scored over 18 points in the past 19 matches against Melbourne, and that goes back to 2005. So they've had their way with us for quite a while now. The Storm have won 14 of 19 matches since 2006, and our overall record against them is our second worst in our history, aside from the diabolical Manly record, which is something like 27% wins. Now, we need to start winning at Shark Park. That's a priority. We've won 5 of 13 matches since the start of last season. Against Melbourne, we've won 3 of the last 9 matches. It's a shocking record. So that starts tomorrow night. We need to turn it around. I can tell you that we're one of 3 teams leading the forced dropout stat, and we've had a whole bunch of guys doing that for us. I think Moylan might have 2, and the rest of the guys are sharing it. Chad and Dugan and even Matty Pryor got one last week, which was hilarious. So Paul Gallen is chasing his 150th win for the club, and he's second behind ET in club wins. I think to win this game, our kicking game is going to have to be near perfect. Their back three is exceptional, so the placement of kicks is going to be important. You might even see Chad and Hodko and even Dugan kicking for touch to wind down the clock a little bit and that kind of thing. So there might be a bit of chess going on out there. They have to think about what they're doing against the Melbourne Storm. You can't just try and fluke it. You're going to have to fight for it. It's going to be a wrestle. I think Brody Croft can be targeted. I know it's an obvious statement. I think he's an exceptional player. He's a really, really good player, even at this young, inexperienced age. But he's small, and he's a little bit green. So if we can get Louis and Brayley and even a few of the big guys like Gallen just targeting him, it could put him off his game a little bit. And the same could be said to a lesser extent about Cameron Munster. But I think things like that are going to have to be for the entire game. Kick chase, kick pressure, all those boring cliches, but it's how you win games. And I think it's how Cronulla can win tomorrow is by, you know, unfortunately for the fans, playing a bit ugly, playing tough, physical football. The loss of Moylan means it's going to be less flash. I think points are going to be hard to come by. You might see us kicking for goal a few more times, like last week, if we get some penalties within distance for Chad. So it's about the end results. You want to win the game, how they do it. at this stage we're not too fast, even though we are banging on about their attack needing to improve. I think against Melbourne you win any way you can. I'm hoping the return of Luke Lewis will give them some more direction, some nice run angles, and just an experienced head out there. From time to time, he can be quiet in a game, but I think given the fact that he hasn't played for a while for us, I think he's going to be so eager to get out there and so keen to play, and just his wealth of experience and skill, he's a very skillful player, is huge. So hopefully he's coming back at full strength, and I think we'll be a much better team for it. It goes without saying that you have to complete your sets against the Melbourne Storm. You think back to the grand final, that's how we won it. It was a brilliant try by Andrew Fifita, and there were exceptional performances throughout that game back in 2016. But the thing that really kept us in the game and got us across the line was holding that ball for so long, minimal errors, minimal penalties. And you need to play that way against the Melbourne Storm again on Friday night to come away with 2 points. Hopefully it's going to be a big crowd out there. It's a good public holiday. Good Friday, long weekend. I encourage you to come out and experience Shark Park in the flesh. It's a great place to be. And yes, there is things going on with the drinks and that kind of thing, but don't let it put you off coming to the game. You can still get a drink. I assure you, you can still get a drink. Behave yourselves. Have fun. Go spend some money at the club. Come say hello to me if you see me around. I'd love to have a chat. Thank you for listening to the end of this podcast. I really appreciate it. I know a solo podcast isn't the most fun thing in the world for you guys, but hopefully you got something out of it. I've enjoyed doing it. Newman will be back for the next episode. We send our apologies. He's not here for this one, but don't forget about our wonderful sponsors, Dyson Logistics, the Motor Yacht Club down at Port Hacking, Endeavour Property Services, and Shark Island Brewing. Check out their products. Let us know what you think. Let them know what you think. It helps all of us. So thank you very much for supporting them, and thank you to them for supporting us. Another reminder, Sharkcast TV is now on Monday nights at 8 o'clock. You can see it via the Sharks official Facebook page. Check our social media for links, that kind of thing. You don't have to watch it live in the moment, but if you do, you can interact with us. But it'll be on demand, so to speak, for when you're comfortable watching the program. Not much else for me to say right now, but we got the first win, and that means one thing, guys. I'm going to play the song. I'm going to get out the scratchy 7-inch and play the greatest song ever recorded. I'll see you down at the game. Otherwise, talk to you next week. Go the Sharks.
Shots!